Hi, I'm Shane Bishop, Senior Pastor at Christ Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. We are continuing the playlist series. Today's song, Pillars of Cloud and Fire. I'm ready to go. Let's get at it. It takes great courage to be a Christian. Straight up, always has. We dare to believe in this God that we cannot see. A God we believe created us, loves us, put on skin, and came to save us. It takes courage to believe in the authority of Scripture when it doesn't always align with your sensibilities. It takes courage to believe in a virgin birth, a Jesus who lived a sinless life, a resurrection from the dead, an ascension into heaven, and an eventual second coming. It takes courage to believe that your sin, no matter how grave, and my sin can be forgiven, that guilt can be assuaged, that captives to addiction and abuse can be freed, and that a life of purpose and passion and power is actually available to all of us right now, no matter where we've been, no matter what we have done. You see, the big, bold, and bodacious claims of the Christian faith are simply not for the faint of heart. It is a huge thing that we believe as Christians. It's frankly what I like best about Christianity. We believe that this relationship that we have with God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ doesn't just propel us through our life on earth, but it propels us throughout eternity. We believe that it's a whole lot more than a feeling or the completion of a confirmation or a membership class. It's a lot more than a prayer that we said a long time ago. Christianity isn't just what you did. Christianity is who you are and what we are in the process of becoming. We must learn to follow God. We get saved in a moment, but then we must learn to follow God. It's a long journey. It's hard work. It requires strength and courage. In the 1989 movie, Glory, it recounted the story, a true story, of the 54th Massachusetts Volunteers. It was the first all-black regiment of the Civil War. It was a pretty violent movie. I remember taking my son, Zach, to see it. He was just a little kid back then, and he was utterly traumatized. He still occasionally flips it out as an example of bad parenting. The film was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, won 3, including Morgan Freeman for Best Supporting Actor. This infantry regiment, fueled by the Emancipation Proclamation, was led by a white officer. He was the son of abolitionists named Robert Gould Shaw, and it formed in February of 1863. The regiment fought with honor in difficult circumstances, eventually losing almost half of its strength at a lost battle at Fort Wagner. Many of these infantrymen who volunteered had only been free for about a minute and a half. And what was the very first choice that they made? It was a choice to enlist, to ensure the freedom that they had gained would not only be theirs throughout their lifetime, but could be passed down to their children and their children's children. You see, it is one thing to be granted freedom, but it's something else to have the courage to hold on to it. Like the Hebrew slaves so long before, these soldiers left everything that they knew to embrace a dream, a life, a vision of being free men. It's a journey that was filled with uncertainty and danger, and for a lot of these soldiers, death. But it was a journey they gladly made. Take a look at the clip. It is not surprising to me that on the most difficult journeys in life, faith is always a part of that track. even with people who maybe don't really believe all of the other time, people that maybe don't go to church every single Sunday, when they are in dire circumstances, when they are asked to put it all on the line, faith sort of wells up from within us. Let's take a look at how this applies to another group of people. Verse 17 and 18. God led the people the roundabout way. Now you got to remember our context. Israel had been in captivity for 400 years. God raises up a deliverer by the name of Moses. He sets them off on a journey. And on that journey, God leads the people the roundabout way. Isn't that always what you least want to have happen when you travel? Nobody wants to go the roundabout way. Nobody wants to take the detour. Nobody wants to take the long way. But God led them on the roundabout way. Now, the Philistines historically appeared from nowhere, and they settled on the western Mediterranean shores of Israel. They brought an advanced culture best known for shipping and trading. They had five federation cities, famous for a lot of things, but among them was they produced giants. It's unfortunate the NBA didn't exist then. And these folks could fight. Bottom line is, this huge people group that had only been free for about a minute and a half, led by Moses, was not ready for the Philistines. You see, the Philistines stood directly between where the people were and the promised land where the people were going. So God led them on the roundabout way. You see, sometimes we wonder why our lives aren't more geometric. Sometimes we wonder why we're not getting from here to there as quickly as we wish. But the reality is, a lot of times, God just knows we're not ready for the Philistines. So he leads us on the roundabout way. Verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph. I love this. The bones of Joseph. 400 years earlier, Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, had become the number two ruler in Egypt, possibly during the Hyksos dynasty. It was a Semitic dynasty. It would have made some sense that a Jewish cousin could rise to leadership there. When a seven-year famine hit the Near East, somewhere a few hundred years, either direction of 1500 BC, Joseph led Egypt to prosperity while the rest of the world starved. Included in that starving world was the family of Joseph. And through a long series of events of reconciliation, forgiveness, intrigue, Joseph eventually invites his family, including his brothers who literally sold him into slavery, he invites his family to come and live in Egypt to save them from starvation. And Jacob, his father, and his tribe moved to Egypt, to the land of Goshen, where they arrived and settled as guests. But the Bible says there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. Things changed. Life went on. The Hyksos fell out of power. And before long, this people group who have been fruitful, who've been multiplying, they are systemically enslaved, and it happens over a 400-year period. Joseph died believing that God would someday take his people back to the promised land. And when that day came, Joseph had let it be known that he wanted his bones taken back to the land God had promised to Abraham. So when it came time to go take Joseph's bones, they did. You see, my friends, in our life, anytime we move forward, we're still going to have to carry the bones of our past with us. And those can be things that drag us down and slow us down, but they can also be items of huge inspiration. They can give us strength and courage. They can remind us that even though we went through some bad times a long time ago, even though I was once a person I'm not proud of today, I am not that person anymore. I am not encapsulated in those times anymore. I can drag the bones of my past with me, and they serve as a trophy to the redemptive power of God. The bones of Joseph. Verse 20 and 21. The Lord led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to give them light. A feature of this playlist series has been to pick some of the most popular passages and images from the Bible. And one of my very, very favorite images is the pillar of cloud and fire. It says that they were led by this cloud, this pillar that stood in the sky. And then at night, the thing just sort of ignites and leads them. God led the Israelites in a supernatural way, but God did not lead them in a geometric way. The path to the promised land is seldom the shortest distance between two points. The cloud and the pillar meant that this ragamuffin, huge people group, they didn't have to get the big picture. They didn't have to print out Google driving directions. They didn't have to ask Siri. They didn't have to find a GPS. All they had to do was follow the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. It's all they had to do. But sometimes it takes great courage to follow that pillar in front of us. When it doesn't align with what we want to do with our lives, when it doesn't align with our own sense of destiny, following that pillar sometimes is not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing. So often we say, Lord, give me a sign, as if getting a sign makes everything so easy. The people of Israel had a sign by day and by night. It was a sign you couldn't miss. And yet we know that often, like us, they missed it anyway. Verse 22, neither the cloud nor the pillar of fire left its place in front of the people. You know, the people, all they had to do was follow. They had to faithfully trust that the one who led them, A, knew where he wanted them to go, and B, knew when he wanted them to arrive there. About 5 years ago, I was telling the Christchurch story at a conference at which I was a speaker, and they did a question and answer piece. I think back then, maybe the church had grown from 200 to 17 or 1,800 or so. And I remember one of the people raised their hand, and they were looking at me like I was really, really smart. And they said, I'll bet when you first came to Fairview Heights 15 years ago, you envisioned God doing all of this. And I just laughed my head off. I mean, it just utterly tickled me. I've got to tell you, I said, I didn't envision any of this. God just led, and we just followed. For me, it's always been that simple. You see, when God throws a cloud and a pillar of fire in front of you, you don't have to sit around wondering all the time. You just need to follow it. Now, some of you have a clear sight on your destiny today, but there's others of you who are a little lost. There are some of you who have never had more clarity in your whole life, and there are others of you who had a lot more clarity a few years ago than you do now. There are some of you who are doing incredibly well. You have your sail up, and you feel the full winds of God blowing your boat across the water. And there are others of you who feel like you're in troubled, deep water, and you don't even know how to get out. I think this text is going to offer us three truths from the playlist that are going to be life-changing for some of you here today. Number one, this is huge, guys. Don't think, just follow. Don't think, just follow. How often in our lives do we think about things that we shouldn't think about, and we don't think about things that we should? I mean, temptation comes in front of a lot of people. They don't give it a second thought. They just go right at it. And then God asks us to do something, and all of a sudden we turn into Socrates. Don't think, just follow. The children of Israel that Moses led out of slavery did not have things all figured out. They weren't exactly sure where they were going. They weren't exactly sure how to get there. They weren't exactly sure what to do once they arrived. In fact, had they sat down and thought it all out, many of them probably would have stayed in Egypt. And we know from the text, a lot of them seriously considered going back. But what they did know was that God had raised up Moses. What they did know is a lot of supernatural things had occurred. What they did know is that God was leading them. And maybe most important, what they did know is they didn't want to be slaves anymore. Sometimes we just got to get sick and tired of being where we're at to propel us into the next thing that God has for us. God didn't say, get to the promised land and I'm going to beam you there like that. God just said, take the first step. There are a lot of you here today who just need to take the first step toward freedom. Often in our faith journeys, we ask God over and over, like little bitty kids in the car, are we almost there yet? Are we almost there? But God is infinitely more interested in the relationship that develops between us and God on the journey than he is about what kind of time that we are making. God often leads us in a roundabout way. God often operates in his time and on his own schedule and not our time. Why? Because, friends, sometimes we're not ready for the Philistines yet. Yet. So where do you begin your journey? Ask Jesus into your life. That's where it begins. That's the first step on the journey. You see, you can be in church your whole life, but until you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, to come into your life, to make you his very own, you're not even started on the journey. So the place to begin is simply by saying, Jesus, forgive my sin, come into my life, and make me a Christian. That's step one. Faith begins with a simple prayer of invitation. Just like a long road trip begins by simply starting the car. Are you tired of being where you are? I want to suggest you just start the car. Just turn the key. Ask Jesus to come into your life. You got it all figured out? Nope. Just start. See what happens. Number two, do the hard stuff. Do the hard stuff. It's one thing to begin a difficult mountain hike. Lots of people begin difficult mountain hikes. It's something else entirely to finish it. It is one thing to be saved. It's one thing to be healed or set free. But it's something else to maintain that freedom and to build upon it. Just because God promised Israel to Abraham a whole lot of years ago didn't mean that Moses and Joshua and the hordes that followed them weren't going to have to fight for it. God gives us the victory, but we must fight to maintain it. Like those soldiers in glory, Abraham Lincoln, through the Emancipation Proclamation, said, you are free, but to maintain that freedom, we are going to have to fight for it. Starting's actually quite easy. Finishing is most difficult. And I'm convinced that the reason most people fall away from God and fall away from church isn't because they stop believing. It's simply because it's hard. It's because it's hard. I mean, why do people stop going to the gym? Why do people stop eating right? Why do they stop working out? They don't suddenly get their minds changed. They don't suddenly wake up one day and thinking, a good diet really isn't important. Where are the Hostess cupcakes? They don't wake up one day suddenly thinking exercise doesn't matter. It's a waste of time. What happens is they find out that maintaining a good diet and exercising are really hard. And they don't want to do it because it's really hard. Christian disciplines, like developing a prayer life, prioritizing worship attendance as a number one priority in our Outlook calendars, giving generously of our resources and our time to God's mission, rolling up our sleeves and serving, being a witness and inviting other people to church, these things are not easy. They're not easy. But we'll never become what God created us to be without them. You see, it's not easy to leave where you are and head toward the promised land, but you will never get to the promised land if you don't leave where you are. You got to do the hard stuff. You want a victorious finish in your life after your big start? Do the hard stuff. Every day, do it. Number three, victory comes through obedience. I'm going to talk very directly to a lot of seasoned Christians here. The text says the cloud and the pillar stayed in front of them. Are you getting this? God led them, but it was up to them as to whether or not to follow. You know, we were at the baseball game on Tuesday night this week, and I had my grandson Maddox with me. We were leaving the ball game, and I was out in front of him, and he was just tucked in right behind me. You know what? It's interesting. He's getting to be a big boy now. He doesn't necessarily want to hold my hand. He's getting a little heavy to carry. It looks a little weird when a kid's about 5'6" and their grandpa's carrying them. And so he's right there behind me. And you know what I kept thinking? I kept looking back to see if he was there. And one thing that occurred to me is I am leading, but it's really up to him to follow. But if he chooses not to follow, we're both going to have some stress. My friends, God is leading, but we have to choose whether or not to follow. I think one of the big questions of life in the Christian life is simply one of purpose. We know what we were saved from, but what are we saved for? I think people all over this world today wonder, why? Why was I born? What is my purpose? I want to offer two thoughts. Number one, I think people today are desperate for a cause. They want to fill the question of purpose with the answer of a cause. And number two, I think people are drowning in causes. So I'm going to tell you what people are using to treat the disease is really making them even sicker. Let me give it to you straight. We were created by God for the purpose of fellowship with God and service to God. I don't know if I can be any clearer than that. That is your purpose. You were created by God for the purpose of fellowship with God and service to God. Jesus called it loving God and loving neighbor. He said loving God is the greatest of the commandments and loving neighbor was the second. As we get to know God through the general Christian disciplines, those hard things like worship plus two and a tithe, those hard things like our membership vows, as we get to know God through the general Christian disciplines, God individually calls us to service. And these are specific calls, and those calls are always in alignment with our giftedness. I just call them pings. Pings. You hear about an opportunity for service at church, and God just sort of pings you. You hear about something that's going on in the world, and something pings you to be a part of it or to do something about it. Some of these calls are from a moment, some are for a season, and some are for a lifetime. But sometimes we get so consumed by the call that we lose sight of the caller. And as a result, we shift from cloud followers and Jesus lovers to do-gooders. And instead of allowing Jesus to do his stuff, and us just playing the position he assigns us, we think we have to do everything ourselves. We become like a volleyball player who doesn't really understand volleyball, but they clearly understand that everybody on their team is terrible. And so they decide they're going to play every position. You ever play volleyball with somebody like that? I mean, they're all over the place. They're getting in front of everybody. I mean, everybody hates that person. That person probably thinks they are doing what it's going to take to win. But the reality is they will never be a good team until that person learns to stay in their lane and the other people learn how to play just a little bit. You see, since so many Christians don't have clarity around their yes, they can't say no. And very soon they are overcommitted, which means they're overwhelmed, and they have no idea why, and all of a sudden they just start fading away. I've seen people get saved, get excited, get active, and then they just fade away. And a lot of times we wonder what happened. Why in the world was somebody that was so excited? Where did they go? What happened to this person? And the reality is, it's because they lost sight of the pillar. They lost sight of the cloud by day and the fire by night. Now the world calls it burnout. But I got to tell you, it's something that happens in the church every single day. That's why the cloud and the pillar are such powerful metaphors for me. That's why loving Jesus and our loving God and loving neighbor are the greatest commandments. And that's why loving God is the greatest commandment and loving neighbor comes after it. Because until you truly get hooked into the life taproot of God, loving your neighbor is just going to wear you out 8 days a week. And some of you are worn out right now. And what you need to do is get your eyes back on the pillar. You need to get refocused on the pillar. You see, it's only by knowing Christ and simple obedience to what he's asked us specifically to do, playing our position, stop trying to play everybody else's, it's only then that we can maintain enough clarity around our yes to be able to say no to all the things that would take our time that we shouldn't be doing anyway. Our mission isn't to save the world. And our mission isn't to do good. Our mission is to connect people to Jesus Christ. You see, you and I can't do every task. You and I can't fix everything. You and I can't save everyone. But Jesus never asked us to. We are commissioned to connect people to the one who can do every task, who can fix everything, who can save everyone. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. God doesn't need you to play every position. He needs you to play the position he has specifically created you to play and assigned to you. God doesn't need you to be Jesus. He needs you to obey Jesus. It's through a relationship with God and obedience to God we finally walk into the peace and the power and purpose God has created for us. If you're living your Christian life in an absolute frenzy of activity, I'm going to tell you, you need to step back, you need to look up, and you need to get refocused on the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Now as we tap the brakes and as the stewards come forward for communion, let's remember these centering words that were penned in 1922 by Helen Lemel. And let this prepare our heart for communion as we focus upon the pillar. Old soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness, you see? There's a light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him and it will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Do you know it? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Bless, O Lord, these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be Christ's body in his world, redeemed by his blood. Thank you, dear God, that we don't have to do everything. Thank you that we don't have to be Jesus. We just need to point people to Jesus who can do everything. As the ushers bring you forward, would you come and receive these elements?